giving it away, back over the top from Pogba, a delicious pass, and Rashford doesn't need too many opportunities. United do lead, he squandered one, he's never going to squander a second. Manchester United ahead.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We roll on here. Quick word here from my friends at Advantage BMW Midtown. Now, I've driven one for years. I've leased, I've owned from Advantage BMW, and I love the drive of a BMW. I have a 5 Series, absolutely love it. But the other thing I love, the customer service at BMW. It's second to none. Advantage BMW Midtown has you covered with sales, service, finance. It can be done so easy. So get that hometown advantage at Advantage BMW Midtown, AdvantageBMWHouston.com. Go down there, say hello to Philip, Justin, Sergio. These guys love soccer. They love football. Get down there. Support Advantage BMW Midtown. Now, tomorrow night, the Houston Sports Awards 2019 version, only the second time this has been held. This has been an incredible fulcrum for reminding our city about its incredible professional sports and college and high school sports history. A lot of awards will be given out. It's just an amazing event. And one of the real driving forces behind it, if she is working 24/7 around the clock, she's Patty Smith of the Houston Sports Authority. She joins us now. Patty, thank you very much. How are you holding up?
I'm doing great, actually. You know, I've done this for, got a year under my belt, so this year is like taking candy from a baby.
All right. Other than me being a very poor presenter last year, what are some of the improvements you've made?
Wow. I think the show is going to be even better than it was last year, if that's even possible. I mean, I think we kind of knocked it out of the park, if I do say so myself. But we've got some really, really cool elements. So I think we've got some really great stories. So I want to say our storytelling is going to be better. We've got a room full of high-profile athletes, just like we did last year. Our stage is incredible. Our lineup is incredible. So I'm anticipating it to be even bigger and better than it was last year.
She's Patty Smith of the Houston Sports Authority. Tomorrow night, the Houston Sports Awards, downtown Houston. Now, last year, it was absolutely amazing. I don't know how you got Hakeem Olajuwon, Nolan Ryan, and Earl Campbell in the same room.
Yeah, well, that was I was a little tricky. You know, I basically just told all three of them and everybody else agreed to do it except for you. So I kind of tricked them all into it. But it worked, and it was a great night. And this year, we're going to be inducting 4 new Hall of Famers into the Houston Sports Hall of Fame coming out of Houston Sports Awards. And basically our theme this year is celebrating a lifetime of Houston sports one decade at a time. So what we've done is we've gone back through the years, and, for example, it's the 40th anniversary of the Love You Blue Oilers. Dan Pastorini, representing the Love You Blue Oilers, is one of our Hall of Fame inductees. It's been 50 years since George Foreman won gold in Mexico City. He's a Hall of Fame inductee. 60 years since A.J. Foyt made his Indianapolis 500 debut. He's an inductee, and our fourth is Jackie Burke, the golfer who 70 years ago won his first professional tournament. So those are our 4 Hall of Famers, some pretty big hitters in Houston. And then, of course, we have our 10 other awards, our Athlete of the Year, College Athlete of the Year, Moment of the Year, Coach of the Year. Our Lifetime Achievement recipients this year are going to be George and Barbara Bush, for just all they've done. They've been huge sports fans and huge contributors to the sports landscape over the years, and we are honoring them. Tillman Fertitta is our Executive of the Year. He will be honored as well. And then we'll have to wait and see. We've got great nominees in all the other categories, and we'll have to wait till the envelope is open to see who those winners are.
Yeah, it's going to be an exciting night as always. Patty, you've put some amazing effort into this. If you want to go look at kind of some of the stuff from last year, you can go to Houston Sports Awards. .com, but this is a wonderful thing the Houston Sports Authority is putting on for the second year. I think for me, Patty, it's a wonderful sort of feel good for Houston and the incredible sporting history we have.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, the whole goal was to kind of celebrate Houston sports and our athletes and our teams, and then we wanted to take it a step further and celebrate those of the past as well. We have such a rich history of both sports as well as athletes, that we want to celebrate all of it. And we bring all these people together from all these different eras, and all these athletes sit in the same section in the same room at the same time. And you've got, you know, Earl Campbell and Jose Altuve last year couldn't get enough of each other. And, you know, to sort of see these combinations and these eras cross over is really pretty phenomenal. And I think, you know, we actually got more than we bargained for when we decided to do this. It's really organically just grown into something great. The athletes love it. The community loves it. And it's becoming kind of the, I think it is the red carpet event in Houston annually at this point.
Well, a lot of this has to do with you. You've been a driving force behind it. Thank you for coming on the show tonight. We'll see you tomorrow night down at the Houston Sports Awards. 2019 version is going to be exceptional.
Well, thank you so much for having me on, and you were not a horrible presenter last year. In fact, you are going to stand by, and you are going to pinch hit in case anybody else kind of falls out by the wayside. I appreciate you, Glenn.
Okay, that means I'm not having a vodka and tonic when I get there. Now you got me nervous. All right. Patty, thank you so much for coming on tonight. See you tomorrow.
You got it. Thank you.
All right. Patty Smith, Houston Sports Authority. Incredible event last year. It was actually a lot of fun to be involved, and gave out a couple of awards with Roger Clemens and Vince Young. But absolutely exciting. And again, I loved what Patty said about the crossover of all the athletes. How about those Lifetime Achievement Award for the Bushes, Barbara and George Bush. All right. Let's take a break here. Another word here. For Kings Court, place to be in Edo, Kings Court, 903 Hutchins, shadows of BBVA Compass Stadium. It's the home of El Batallón. The Kings Court has 13 monitors for all your soccer watching desires, covers all the leagues from around the world. Rooftop deck, spectacular, great view of the stadium, British and Indian pub style cuisine. Jay brought in some wonderful food here 2 weeks ago. Great food, staff, selection, bar and cocktails, all at great prices. Say hello to Jay and his wife Megan. Kings Court. Houston.com.
This is Nolan Ryan. You're listening to Houston's best sports talk, ESPN 97.5.
Into space now for Lewis. Fuller trying to chase it down. Lewis is there as the rain comes back out here in San Jose. Now the cross, Legit is there! Sebastian Legit returned to Allegiant Stadium! And with a goal again! There is in for Legit. He's going to get there. Ariola trying to get it from
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Hey, don't forget, tomorrow night, the Houston Sports Awards. Going to be an amazing night. A.J. Foyt, George Foreman, so many people are going to be down there tomorrow night. Really looking forward to be in there as well. It's going to be a big night here in Houston. Year number two for the Houston Sports Award. Also, a big thank you to the Daspit Law Firm and John Daspit. The Daspit Law Firm is a personal injury attorney firm. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. You go to DaspitLaw.com. They're bilingual. They absolutely love the sport of soccer. Car accidents, motorcycle, industrial construction, you don't want to get in them. But you do need representation if you do. They're going to work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. Get the representation you need at the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Now, what are the most significant signings in the offseason here for the Houston Dynamo coming over from New York City FC? Tommy McNamara, 27 years of age from West Nyack, New York, played at Brown and Clemson 86 times for New York City FC, 13 goals for them in 3 years. And Tommy joins us now from Tucson, Arizona. Tom, thank you very much for coming on the show. I guess we're going to just have to start calling you Tommy Mac, right?
Yeah, whatever. Whatever's easier.
Yeah, I think that was your moniker up on the East Coast. How's preseason going so far, and how's the adjustment been coming here with a new group of guys and kind of a new beginning for you?
Yeah, it's been good. It's been exciting. You know, it's exciting to take on a new challenge in my career. We've been busy. We started earlier, obviously, with the Champions League. Compared to, you know, most of the other clubs in MLS. So it's been busy. We've kind of hit the ground running hard straight from the first training session. So it's been good. We've been preparing well, you know, getting to know the guys on the team, getting to, you know, relearn the coaching staff, even though I was with them a few years ago. So it's been good.
So when we talk about Wilmer Cabrera, when you were drafted by Chivas USA and you started with Wilmer, now it's a couple years down the road, you reunite with Wilmer. Is Wilmer a different coach now?
Yeah, I mean, of course. He still carries himself the same way. He's still the same person. Still has a similar idea about the game. But of course he's a little bit different, and so am I. You know, he has more experience coaching in the league. Things are a little bit different, but he's still the same person, and he still has the same ideas in playing soccer and how to manage the group.
Tommy McNamara joining us, acquired by the Houston Dynamo, attack-oriented midfielder. Really looking forward to seeing him contribute to the Dynamo this year. All right, let's start with New York City FC, and this was kind of a dream for you. I mean, not everybody gets an opportunity to go back sort of to the area that they grew up in, play in Yankee Stadium for New York City FC. Let's start with your connection and playing with Andrea Pirlo and what that was like.
Yeah, it was great. It was incredible. Guys like him and Frank and David, you know, I thought that the only way I'd ever get to play with them after watching them my whole childhood growing up on television is if I played over in Europe and was playing in the Champions League. And obviously, that's not the case in my career, but I had the opportunity to play with three guys that have won a lot of titles in their career, and they've played a lot of games, and they're some of the best players in their positions and in the world. And so playing with Andrea was really special. He's a great person, first and foremost. Consider him a friend now, and you know, the way he sees the game is just different than anybody else. So to just kind of, even just in training sessions, just see the passes he was making and the way he saw the field was, you know, a real learning experience and kind of just an awing experience.
Frank Lampard, what are the first impressions you got from him being around him?
Yeah, very, very good person as well. Very committed, very driven. He works very hard. You know, he's the first one in and the last one out every day. And, you know, soccer-wise, he's had a knack for scoring goals. He was just committed to getting himself in the box and get him free. And so it was great to learn from that, too, and to see kind of his movement in and around the 18-yard box to get himself in the goal-scoring positions and then obviously have the ability to put them in the back of the net.
And then how about playing with a striker like David Villa?
Yeah, David, I mean, David was the face of the club for the first 4 years. He really led the team and he carried the team, and he was just an incredible example to all the guys within our squad, but I think he was also an incredible example across the whole league, and even the United States. And he was a guy that was committed to making sure he was prepared to lead the team every day and to score goals every day. And just to see his mentality at training was just a great example to see for a younger guy in my career at the time.
Tommy McNamara joining us, new Dynamo acquisition in midfield this year. We're going to talk about where he sees himself fitting in with the Dynamo. Patrick Vieira had a really high opinion of you, despite all those big names you just mentioned, Andrea Pirlo, Frank Lampard, David Villa. Talk about what it was like to play under Patrick Vieira.
Yeah, it was enjoyable. The way that he wanted to play the game really fit into what I wanted to do, or I guess my strengths and weaknesses. The way he went about his work was different than what I'd ever really experienced in my past. Tactically, how he thought about the game and what he wanted out of the players, it was very challenging, but that was what made it, you know, very exciting for me. I'm a very thoughtful person and like to consider the game both on the field and off the field. And so he presented that challenge to the players.
Was that the biggest tactical challenge you've ever had in your career?
Yes, it was.
And take me a little deeper into that, because I think this is interesting for the listener. Why was it tactically a little bit of a push, and what additionally did he want out of you from the cerebral part of the game?
Yeah, it was, his way of coaching and his idea and how the game should be played was about positional play. So essentially all 11 guys on the field at all moments in the game had a certain position to be in, which, would affect the guy next to them, behind them, in front of them. And so you tactically had to be very switched on to know, like, you know, in this given situation, in that given situation, where do I need to be on the field in order to execute the game plan? And so he asked a lot of people to, like, really understand the game, to really understand what he wanted. And then also he switched formations not a crazy amount, but a little bit, and that required different things from the different rules. So it was just, it was an exciting challenge and one that I relished taking on because it made, you know, you really had to think about the game and understand the game, which for me, that's one of my strengths, and which is why I think, you know, I suited his system so well.
Dynamo midfielder Tommy McNamara, I think this is fascinating what you're talking about, because I'm gonna lead you into something that jumped right into my mind. So there may be some very talented players on that roster, as talented as anybody that may be in the starting 11, but if they don't grasp the tactical side of what Patrick Vieira is putting out there, they're not gonna play. Would you say that's correct?
I mean, there's always exceptions for everything, and there's always, you know, different things of that nature. But, no, it was very important to him that the players understood what he wanted and what he wanted in a specific formation or a specific game plan against certain opponents. And so that was, you know, something that was of a high priority to him. And if players weren't able to, you know, meet those demands, that was, you know, an issue for him, obviously.
Yeah. So I would think at this point of your career, wow, what a wonderful stretch that is. And you saying you're a cerebral guy. I thought the Super Bowl final was a cerebral game, and that we should acknowledge that there was a lot of cerebral things going on. But was that a fun stretch for you? The fact that now, okay, this guy's challenging me in a way that I've never been challenged by a coach before.
Yeah, no, it was definitely enjoyable. And it was enjoyable even more so for the fact that I think it really fit me personally. You know, if it was something else that was required of a coach that I wasn't good at, obviously that would make it more difficult and would be less enjoyable. But no, it was something that I think suited me very well. And so I certainly enjoyed it. I certainly enjoyed learning, a new, maybe not a new way of playing a game, but a way that I haven't really been taught before. And to have these demands placed on myself and on my teammates that, you know, wasn't really there to the same degree, I should say, previously.
So, I mean, am I surmising correctly when I say Patrick Vieira helped you to become a better player?
Of course, all the coaches in my career have helped me become a better player, from when I was a kid with my father and, you know, the Karuga brothers who coached me at the youth level through college and, you know, even professionally now, to the four coaches I've had now.
Yeah, one of the Karuga brothers is down here. He listens to the show, so he's going to be glad you're on. In fact, he arranged the first interview we did together when you were on New York City FC.
Yeah, he's a great friend. I'm happy that he's down here. It makes things easier with the adjustment. He's a great family for him now, almost part of the family, so it's great.
Yeah, he's a good addition to the Houston soccer community. We're talking to Tommy McNamara of the Houston Dynamo, played both at Brown and Clemson, 3 years with New York City FC, out in Arizona now as the Dynamo preparing for CONCACAF Champions League play. Tommy, if I ask you to describe yourself as a player, how would you describe yourself?
Yeah, you know, I would say that I'm hardworking. I'm willing to give everything to my teammates in the club and the coaching staff and the supporters to try to win games. You know, I would say that I'm a smart player on the field, and I have some attacking qualities, and I'm hoping that, you know, this is going to be a very successful season for the club, and, you know, I can help contribute to a positive and successful season.
So as far as being deployed in a midfield, and obviously we just learned with your time under Vieira at New York City FC that you're versatile. Do you prefer a starting point of being a little bit wider? Do you prefer being underneath the forward? What's best for you? And I know you're going to give me an answer that, well, whatever it takes maybe to get on the field, but which do you prefer and why?
No, I like playing in attacking positions. Now, whether that's centrally or out wide, if I had to pick between the two, it would probably preferably be in the middle. But I enjoy being in attacking positions.
And just to put this out there, I know you're not coming to Houston, Texas to be a reserve. You're fighting to be a starter on this team.
No, of course. You know, this is my career, and I'm here to compete to start games for this team and help them be successful. So I'm coming in here with the mindset of, you know, preparing myself and playing to the best of my abilities and to helping this club be successful.
2015, 1,300 plus minutes, 5 goals for New York City FC. 2016, 5 goals. You played, man, you played 2,200 plus minutes. Then 2017, and you had 5 goals that year. Another 3 goals in 2017, 1,500 plus minutes. Last year, you had some injury problems and things, only 370 minutes. Just describe how tough last year was and you know, where you are health-wise now and how excited you are to really log more minutes.
Yeah, no, I mean, last year was a frustrating year for me personally in my career. You know, I went from being a starter and starting a lot of games to hardly playing at all. And so it was difficult and it was frustrating, and I put my head down and I kept working and tried to take advantage of, you know, the limited opportunities that I was really given, and, you know, thought that I'd done pretty well with them, and the team had certainly done well. But, you know, the coaching staff obviously felt differently, but that's a part of the career. Sometimes these things happen. I'm healthy. I was healthy all last year, so I'm excited for a fresh start. I'm excited for a new challenge. I'm excited to move forward with my career, and especially with the Houston Dynamo. I feel excited being part of this team, and, you know, I'm really excited for the season to start.
Tommy McNamara, the Houston Dynamo, they're getting prepared for their CONCACAF Champions League out in Arizona. What's been the focus from Wilmer Cabrera? Are we getting more into the tactical side of things as we're getting closer to CONCACAF Champions League play?
Yeah, you know, the two biggest focuses to start, you know, was the physical and the technical side of things. You know, obviously it's a long layoff from the end of the season last year until we got started, and so that was the focus at the beginning. But we've thrown in pretty much right from the start things that we want to do as a team tactically, just kind of general principles. And, you know, now we just got out to Arizona. We have 3 games, so we've built a pretty good base physically and technically, and we're going to continue to work on those, obviously, over the course of the next, you know, 10, 11 days here in Arizona. But now with these 3 games leading up to the Champions League game, you know, we're focusing a little bit more on the technical side of things of what we want to do. And, you know, once we get out the other side of Arizona, we'll start really focusing and preparing for the Champions League game.
How competitive has preseason been? Because guys are certainly out to win starting jobs.
Yeah, of course. You know, there's a handful of new guys in the club. You know, obviously it was a difficult MLS season last year. Great success with the Open Cup championship. But, you know, the club has brought in a few new players. And so now it's a time for everybody to kind of compete for spots again. And it's an opportunity over the course of 5 weeks with, you know, 5 or 6 preseason games to kind of show where you're at, show what you can do for the team, what you can do, what the coaches can see that you can do, and how you can help the team be successful. So it's certainly competitive, and that's how preseason should be.
Well, we're excited to see you in Houston with the Houston Dynamo, Tommy. We appreciate you coming on the show. I hope it's the first of many visits for you, and wishing you the best of luck this season, continued success in preseason. And a big thank you for you to come on the show from Arizona tonight.
Yeah, of course. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
All right, Tommy McNamara, West Nyack, New York, played his collegiate soccer at Brown and Clemson. If you remember, had a number of MLS Goal of the Weeks with curling, bending finishes, but exciting player too. And from an attacking perspective, I think Dynamo fans are going to really like Tom McNamara. All right, we're going to take a break here. Dynamo, I believe, in action tomorrow. We'll be playing. And, of course, also tomorrow we have the Houston Sports Award here in Houston. So I'm going to be down there. It's going to be exciting to be down there as well. Reminder, get over to Facebook Soccer Matters. You can go in our shop over there. Our T-shirts are there. We're going to roll out some other colors. I think you're going to like them. And right now, we will take a break.
ESPN 97.5.
Into the area, chipped in, Sterling continued his run. Oh, what a goal! Absolutely brilliant! Tapped in on the line by Aguero. The football was absolutely sublime by Manchester City. The switching play was excellent. And with 2 minutes remaining in this first half, City regain the lead. Two for Aguero, two for City. They lead 2-1.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters. Hey, soccer fans, I got a new sponsor to Soccer Matters, Tri-Eagle Energy. There's synergy with their energy because they're also the official energy provider of the Houston Dynamo, Houston Dash, and BBVA Compass Stadium. So let's talk energy. There are a lot of energy providers out there, and there's always different offers ranging from free weekends, free days, cash bonuses, and the list goes on and on. Now, you may have fallen for one of these offers, and months later, you find out you're paying a higher rate or there are additional fees on your bill. It's different with Tri-Eagle Energy. They keep it simple. The rate you see is the rate you pay. No gimmicks, no minimum usage fees, no charges if you go over a certain amount of electricity. So check out Tri-Eagle Energy, 877-93-EAGLE, or log on to TriEagleEnergy.com. Use promo code ESPN for an additional discount. TriEagleEnergy.com, promo code ESPN. Now, the Houston Dynamo in the CONCACAF Champions League, they gained entry based on the fact that they won the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup over the Philadelphia Union. The Dynamo will open up at Huastatoya, a Guatemalan team that plays in the Liga Nacional, their national league, February 19th. Second leg will be February 26th back here at BBVA Compass Stadium. Joining us now is Jairo Otsoy, a communications director for Huastatoya, and we appreciate him coming on. Jairo, how are you?
Fine, thank you. And yourself, Glenn, thank you for this interview.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. I always love the cultural exchange that occurs with CONCACAF Champions League and hearing how the game is different in differing parts of the world. The fact of the matter is here, this is a very big moment for Huastatoya to have qualified for the CONCACAF Champions League.
Yes, yeah. Actually, it's Huastatoya, I think all Guatemala is very, very excited to be on the champion and the CONCACAF Champions League.
Tell us a little bit about Huastatoya and maybe their style of play. What would we look for as fans and as media here in Houston when it comes to their playing style?
Okay, so Huastatoya is a small city of the state of Progreso. As the club represents, you know, the city and province of the pride and joy its citizens. At this moment of being a champion 2 years in a row, all the cities of this state follow the team. And it has even reached other cities outside the state. Even tough, the team has a growing fan base. The most loyal still remain the citizens of Huastatoya. We have a guard group that is planning to be at the stadium and have all the fans watching from home.
Jairo Otsoy, Communication Director for Huastatoya. The game in Guatemala on February 19th, and there will be Dynamo fans going down there, will be played in the National Stadium, not at the usual home of Huastatoya, which is the Estadio David Cordon, I believe. Is that right?
David Cordon Nichos. And now, you know, we move to Doroteo Guamuch Flores in Guatemala City.
Now, stylistically, Jairo, is this a short passing team? Give us some things to look at in the way Huastatoya plays as a team.
Well, you know, I think actually they play like a very strong from the back, you know, to the forward, that you know, Amarini Villatoro likes to get out from the backside to the forward.
Tell us a little bit about some of the players that maybe we should be keeping an eye on.
Well, I think players that in my opinion, and I think is Jose Marquez, the one, and of course Jose Calderon, the keeper, and Luis Martinez, like as a forward.
Luis Martinez, the striker, he's the a 27-year-old. And how much pride is there on at stake here for Guatemalan fans representing Liga Nacional?
Well, you know, like I told you at the beginning of the interview, that Guasatoya is a very small city. We're looking always for 4,000 to 5,000 people.
That'll be at the National Stadium?
This is not the National Stadium. You know, the National Stadium is going to be in Guatemala City. I'm talking about the 4,000, 5,000 and in Guastatoya. In Guatemala City, I think we are looking for, could be like 15 to 20,000 people.
Yep.
For this game.
So in the United States, we know a lot about, from Major League Soccer, we know a lot about Guatemalan players like Carlos Ruiz, like Freddie Thompson, Juan Carlos Plata is another one we remember, Pando Ramirez we remember. Just before I let you go, just take me into, you know, will the rest of the league and the entire country be supporting Guastatoya when they play in the National Stadium, and do you think there'll be more than 5,000 fans there?
Yes, of course, yeah. Because, you know, after the suspension that Guatemala has from FIFA, I think all the fans, the soccer fans in Guatemala, is waiting for, you know, to come and the international games again, to be into against the Dynamo, Houston Dynamo. So I think everybody's excited and waiting for this game to see Guatemala and the international soccer again.
Yeah, against the team from the United States. Last thing before I let you go. So far in National League play, Guastatoya is struggling. 5 games, they haven't gotten a result, albeit all of those games have been close except one. What do you think's going on with the team right now? And is that making them a little bit nervous going in to the CONCACAF Champions League because they're not in good form and they're not winning games?
Yeah, I think that a lot of comes from injury players and recent additions to new players to the team that we are still working to incorporate into full team play. And we hope that our team will work on completing this transition.
Jairo, thank you so much for coming on tonight. Thank you for giving us some insight into Guastatoya, and congratulations to the club getting to the CONCACAF Champions League.
Thank you. Thank you to you, Glenn. And, you know, I hope everything is going to be okay, and I'm excited to host in the Dynamo, Houston Dynamo in Guatemala City. And I think we want to see a big game. We want to watch a big game that day.
Well, when you get to Houston, please reach out. We're going to take care of you and all the media guys coming in for the game on February 26th, okay?
Thank you. Thank you, Glenn. I will do it, okay? Thank you very much. Have a great night.
All right. Thank you, Jairo. That's Jairo Otsai. Otsoy, the communications director for Guastatoya. We appreciate him giving us some insight into that club, who the Dynamo will take on in the CONCACAF Champions League. First leg, February 19th in Guatemala City in the National Stadium. Second leg, February 26th here at BBVA Compass Stadium. We'll take a break.
This is Nolan Ryan. You're listening to Houston's best sports talk, ESPN 97.5.
You're You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, tonight we wrap it up on Soccer Matters. Big moment here to talk to Tim Holt, the managing director of San Antonio FC. Before we get to that, though, a reminder for our presenting sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, are going to bring you a personalized approach. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. Car accidents, motorcycle, industrial construction, plant, refinery, 18-wheeler. You don't want to get in them, but when you do, you need representation. Daspit Law Firm and John Daspit are there for you. They'll work for you 24-7 nights and weekends. They'll give you the representation you need. It's DaspitLaw.com. John is a huge soccer fan, and he helps bring soccer to the airwaves. With that, we go to Tim Holt of San Antonio FC. Tim, thank you very much for taking the time to come on our program.
Glenn, thanks for having me back. It's always a pleasure.
All right, so the pink elephant in the room, I'm going to get that out of the way, and then we're going to talk about your upcoming season in the USL. But, you know, obviously one of the things that people went right to when Austin FC was awarded a franchise a couple weeks ago was, wow, you know, here was San Antonio FC stadium, a lot of boxes checked, incredible ownership group with the Spurs ownership, and, you know, this seems to be a real a blockage, I would say.
Well, look, you know, the ambition, you know, here from 2006 when the Spurs took ownership and we came on board and started San Antonio FC was and is to compete at the highest level of pro soccer in the United States. And you know, that's Major League Soccer, and we were an active and are an active member of the application process for expansion. That's still an open process. Obviously, you know, what's transpired has transpired with Austin getting a team, you know, as early as the 2020 season. So if that, you know, pushes our timeline, you know, back and, you know, continuing to be in the USL Championship and the, you know, in the immediate to medium term is where we'll be. That's certainly not a bad place to be. And, you know, we continue to grow and evolve as a club and can do that from a USL platform. That league's grown by leaps and bounds and sort of matches our ambition. So, well, look, we'll continue to perform on and off the field like we have the first 3 years that we've been here and, you know, ultimately still aspire to be operating and competing at the highest level of American soccer. But this is a long play for us here in San Antonio. It's a great soccer market. It's going to continue to be a great soccer market that supports its pro team, and we're in this for the long haul.
Tim, what's the message that comes from the top of Spurs ownership down to you guys when this went down?
We're just steady on, right? You know, we've had goals and objectives for how we continue to build this professional soccer club out that are ambitious, and nothing's really changed in that respect. Certainly, if you were to move from USL to Major League Soccer, there's a, you know, pretty significant scaling step which occurs both on the sporting and on the commercial side that, you know, we haven't been in that mode. And so for us, it's just to each year continue to, you know, improve on every aspect of our business, team performance, the growth of the academy, which we're particularly proud of, the fan support that we get here, which is phenomenal, our facilities development, you name it. And we've done that for 3 years, and we continue to do it for, you know, for each incremental year that we're here operating. So, you know, frankly, it's, you know, the situation's played out the way it's played out, but, you know, no one's sort of hanging their heads or feel like, you know, this isn't a really special situation just because we're not part of this first phase of the MLS expansion.
How about the fans? What was the gauge of the fans initially now that you've had a couple of weeks with it? And you know, how do you manage that as the managing director? Because, you know, fans are what it's all about.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, I think there's some fans that are, you know, have been disappointed either with the process or the outcome because, like us, they, you know, want their team and club and city to be at the, you know, at the highest level of American pro soccer. But we have great fans that, you know, above everything else are about supporting their local professional team in San Antonio FC. And so the sort of process of redirecting that energy and focus on supporting this year's team as we, you know, try to compete for a championship is has been pretty seamless. So we've, you know, again, there's been no drop off. In fact, it's gone the other way in terms of, you know, our season ticket member base and, you know, the early returns on fan support for individual games. And So, you know, we're feeling a lot of enthusiasm and energy for what we're doing, maybe with you know, a chip on our shoulder to continue to prove ourselves as a soccer market and as a professional soccer club. And those are good things, whether it's the fans or the front office or the team. Those things can drive you forward. So we use it as motivation, and we're ready for a great 2019 on and off the field.
Opening match for San Antonio FC, and you can see their schedule at sanantoniofc.com. Saturday the 9th against the Phoenix Rising. If you haven't been to Toyota Field, it is an amazing road trip to San Antonio. It is an absolute gorgeous, intimate stadium. Works really well. Does the business model change now a little bit long-term for you?
No, not really. I mean, look, we've been operating in the USL for the first 3 years. So, as I indicated earlier, we try to do that a little bit better each and every year. We try to operate a little bit more efficiently as we continue to build out what we do and get better at what we do in every aspect of the business. So, no, it doesn't, because you know that's sort of been the mode that we've been in since we've gotten here. But you know, with a professional soccer club. Certainly, you know, the first 3 years and, you know, is sort of phase one, and then you move into that phase two where the novelty's worn off, certainly from what you do. But, you know, it really is down to your performance and how well you're engaged with the fans. Obviously, the performance on the field matters a bit, how engaged we are in the community with, you know, and it's a 12-month-a-year type of operation. So this has always been a sort of two-pronged approach. It was never Major League Soccer or bust. For us here, and year four is exciting for us because there are certain things that we still haven't achieved as a club that we feel that we're on the verge of being able to accomplish this year based on the work that we've done the previous 3 years.
He's Tim Holt, Managing Director, San Antonio FC, and I know firsthand how much you guys have been involved in the community. In fact, you've gotten involved with something that I'm associated with the Ramirez-Castro family and the soccer camp that's done for Nico Ramirez-Castro, and you guys have supported that wonderfully. So I would just say thank you for being so selfless on that end and doing that. But you are real community, and you have because of the community emphasis and getting your players out there and getting them personally in contact with fans and making that such a big thing. You really have a loyal base of fans for San Antonio FC.
We really do, and we're really fortunate to have it. I think with any, you know, pro soccer club in this day and age, it's a key aspect of being successful. If you spend any amount of time in San Antonio, you'll realize there's a real sense of civic pride in this market. Most people, you know, in San Antonio are from San Antonio and really care and support everything about San Antonio, its culture and its activities, and that includes the sports teams. The Spurs fan base is obviously pretty rabid, and they've had a lot of success, and you know, we see that translate over to soccer as well. But it's a two-way street. You just don't get to be the beneficiary of this great passion for pro soccer and sports and what we do and not give back. So, you know, from our standpoint, we're trying to give back as much as we enjoy and take from that. And when you have that relationship going, it can, you know, you can do special things and it works. So we see that on, you know, the couple dozen or so match days that we have here in Toyota Field. You talked about it. There's not a, for my money, there's not a more intimate, you know, professional soccer venue. It's 8,000 seats. You are literally right on top of the action. And when the place is packed and the team's playing well, it's just a fun place to experience professional soccer.
No question. You got a great coach in Darren Powell. Speak about him a little bit and his leadership.
Well, I think you're right. We do have a great coach in Darren Powell, who's been here since the first year as well. I think, you know, when you talk about Darren, you start about with the fact that this is a terrific human being, just a class act. That you know, the culture of what we do matters. How we act and how we play. The team's been very good over the three seasons that he's been here. We've learned certain lessons. USL is a difficult league, and in terms of how you build your team and how you compete, and you know the rigors that is that season, and the travel and the schedule that go with that. But I think what people see is Darren on the touchline, you know, managing our games and our players. But what he does to this club is invaluable. He leads from the front in terms of setting the tone and the strategy for our academy, which is completely integrated with the first team. Now 3 years in, he's, you know, our front face in terms of that community involvement that you spoke with before, and terrific, you know, soccer coach and tactician and player motivator and identifier, but just a great man. And we're very fortunate to have him heading up the sporting department of the club.
Now let's talk about your academy and development program. And I know you work very closely with Darren on this, but you know, what's sort of the, timetable for getting a few more San Antonio kids, ultimately in this lineup, because that's the way you want it, right?
I would say, it's upon us. We're 3 years into this. We started somewhat uniquely with a youngest age group team of under 12. There were 2004 boys. We have a fully funded academy, which has grown from that first group over 3 years to 80 full-time players that compete in the DA, U12, U13, U14, and U15. So the U15s are still quite young, maybe not as young as it used to be in American soccer age. And we have three national team pool players in that group that are on, essentially a professional track. So the key with those things is, to make sure that we manage it correctly for the players, the individuals, the athletes, and for our club. So, while we're anxious to see what that yields here over the next, two or three years in terms of the pipeline of players that we think will be bringing, which are hometown kids, raised and developed in San Antonio, they're going to have to earn their way onto the field. Because, what we're doing first and foremost is competing for a USL championship. And we believe that those players, sooner rather than later, will be able to help us do that, which sort of, further validates and cements that pathway for future groups. But those players are going to, have to earn their time on the field. But we feel like we're knocking on that door, Glenn, and really look forward to seeing this next phase of, of our homegrown academy process. I think we're the only non-MLS club with a fully funded academy. And our academy director, Nick Evans, who's become one of the most respected leaders in that space in the country, irrespective of league, has done a great job of sort of paving that way. So it's a point of pride for the club, for sure. I think it's become part of our DNA and, something that we do because we believe in it and we believe what it's going to yield. And it's just changed the entire paradigm here in San Antonio of, players having a clear pathway to professional soccer, which just hasn't existed prior to SAFC.
Tim Holt, Managing Director of San Antonio FC, joining us now. Something that intrigues me, Saturday the 30th of March, Austin Bold FC. You'll go up to Austin to play them. I would think that just very simply, this could end up being a wonderful, cool rivalry.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun. We're already fired up about that. It'll be their first ever game in their new stadium at the Circuit of the Americas racetrack. So we're looking forward to christening their new stadium. Our objective is to go up there and spoil the party, but it's definitely going to be a party. We look forward to bringing a couple hundred of our fans at least up there and making some noise and enjoying it with, their supporters, obviously, which will also be pretty enthusiastic about the game. They're putting a very good team together. We feel we'll be very competitive in the league this year. So hopefully be the first of many good rivalries. And not just Austin, regionally, the way the league has expanded, there's a team in El Paso, El Paso Locomotive, one in Albuquerque, New Mexico, called New Mexico United. And then we've got our rivals in the Valley and with RGB Toros. So real good Southwest flavor to the USL Western Conference this year. Games that our fans can travel to. Which and vice versa, which always adds an additional element of to the proceedings.
Yeah, you got you'll take on the Dynamo's RGV at HEB Park on the 25th of May, and then you'll turn around and get them again a little bit later in the year, August 17th. You'll have them at home at Toyota Field. So there's the connection with the Houston Dynamo. Just speak to the USL and really how impactful it has been with the growth of soccer in this country, because it's given a lot of opportunity. There's more opportunities from a playing perspective than ever.
Yeah, there certainly are, right? If you just look at the fact that there's 36 teams across the USL this year and, even assume that's, 20 players per professional players per roster, you've got an upwards of, 1,000 playing spots. Just within the USL, right, which really supports what's happening in Major League Soccer. And, the country's so big, and there's so many different pathways for players. Some take the college path, some go directly to the pro, some leave the country. But USL provides a really important platform you know, for those players to become professionals, and not just necessarily as a stepping stone either. The, you know, with the expansion of the league, if you look at it, you know, we started here in 2016, but even back before that, the level of play across the league is substantially higher than it's ever been before, which is great. I mean, it's great for the fans. It's great for the players that play in the league. It's just good for the sport to have a stable second division that's, you know, that's providing all these great opportunities, you know, in clubs for administrators and executives on the field, for referees and for coaches and for players. So, and then there's that MLS aspect of it where you have, you know, 8 to 10 teams that are direct, either owned and operated by, or have that direct relationship like RGV and the Dynamo do, to connect those teams together. So the league's it's really unique, and it's prospering. And again, it's really a great time to be a part of it.
Well, it's also prospering because there's great leadership in key positions like Tim Holt of San Antonio FC. Tim, as always, thank you very much for coming on the show. Thanks for giving us a bit of insight. It's sanantoniofc.com. It is worth the trip to San Antonio, to Toyota Field, to catch Darren Powell and his squad. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Tim.
Thanks for having me, Glenn. See you soon.
All right. You got that. That's Tim Holt. So we really appreciate him coming on. That's how we wrap it up here tonight. As we do wrap it up, we remind you the place to be in Edo, Kings Court, 903 Hutchins, in the shadows of BBVA Compass Stadium. 13 monitors for all your soccer-watching desires. They cover the leagues from around the world. Houston Red Army down there, the Manchester United supporters group locally, Chelsea Blues, Real Madrid Peña, I believe. Rooftop deck spectacular. Oh, and El Batallón as well. Great view of the stadium. British and Indian pub-style cuisine. KingsCourtHouston.com. Going in to say hello to Jay and Megan. That will wrap it up here tonight. Two nights from now, we're back in action on Thursday. Former Manchester United assistant coach Renee Muhlenstein will be on the show. This is going to be a fantastic interview. We're going to talk Sir Alex Ferguson, Cristiano Ronaldo, and a number of other things. Facebook Soccer Matters, Twitter Glenn Davis Sox. That will do it for tonight. The podcast at podcastarena.com and iTunes. Remember, soccer matters.
ESPN 97.5.